Leslie Fish meets Alison Henry, a sculptor based in Great Rybrin near Fakenham. Largely self-taught, Alison's work is mainly in clay, which is then cast in bronze or resin finishes such as jesmonite and plaster. Until recently, Alison focused principally on portraits of people and animals, but now she is increasingly turning to the natural world and finding inspiration in the Norfolk landscape and its nature. As well as Norfolk, Alison has exhibited her work in London, Bristol and Winchcombe in the Cotswolds.
Hello, I'm Leslie, and today I'm at the home of Alison Henry, a sculptor based in North Norfolk, who I was fortunate enough to meet during the Norfolk and Norwich Open Studios this year. Alison, good morning. We're surrounded by your work here, which varies from people to animals and birds. Which do you prefer?
Good morning, Leslie. To be honest, I don't really have a preference. I started doing people mainly because I'd done a couple and people said, oh, you should really get into portraiture. But it's not an easy thing to make a business out of because I do this part time. If you're doing a commission for somebody, then you're trying to work to somebody else's ideal of what you're going to achieve. And that makes it quite hard, and it takes a long time for me. So whilst I enjoy doing portraits, I think the commission side of thing is challenging. But I was doing those largely before I moved to North Norfolk. And since moving here and moving into my house, which is in the countryside, I've just become more and more inspired by nature. And if I'm doing birds, for instance, I mean, I've only done some swifts so far, but they're not intended to be actual realistic swifts. It's more trying to capture the movement and spirit of them. But I'm not working to anyone else's brief. I'm just working to mine. It's much more liberating. Animals, I've only done two dog portraits so far, and in that sense, there's still the expectation of a portrait if it's somebody else's dog. But I enjoyed doing those because it was something I'd never done before. But at the moment, I think, going back to your original question, I'm enjoying the freedom of working with birds and with other natural forms.
Okay, well, I'm lucky enough to own Sea Vessel One, which is a beautiful and tactile sculpture of a shell. Tell me, what was your inspiration for creating it?
Well, I did three sea vessels. Whilst the one you have is called Sea Vessel One, actually it was the third I made, but I reversed the numbers afterwards. But the Clye Contemporary is an annual exhibition held in Clye next to sea. And I came up with the ideas for that exhibition from my submission. And the idea was trying to find a connection. Well, the theme of that show was called Connectivity. And I was thinking about the connection between the shell form and its gradual disintegration until it becomes part of the sand. Where you find the shells, or where, you know, unless you go diving or something. But there's that connection between the sand and the life form that created the sand, you know, thousands of years ago. And so for that, I took three actual shells that I'd found somewhere on the North Norfolk shore. And they were, that one was an almost complete shell, which ended up being Sea Vessel One. One was kind of half there, and one was just the inner core. And it was that, as I worked on the pieces, and I started first with the innermost core, it was that spiral shape that just fascinated me, and I just really enjoyed following that through and creating what I hope is a kind of beautiful spiral shape thing. But the other thing was that I've interested in the vessel idea, so it's the shapes or the pods or the shells that are still there once the creature within it has gone, or the life form, you know, whether that's a plant form or animal or insect or whatever, and you're left with these really quite sculptural shapes, which are fascinating. So that was the other part of the inspiration.
Okay, thank you. I mean, the natural world must be a constant source of material for you. And I'm assuming this is going to be your focus for future work, whether it be plants or shells or...
I think so, yes. I mean, it's always difficult to look too far ahead, but there's so much more to do in that area. At the moment, the last two pieces I've done have been also based on the plant vessel idea, but they're bits of seed pod, which I think came from a potpourri that I found, in a bag somewhere in the Christmas decorations. But they, again, there's a very, very kind of sculptural twisting shape to them. So I've done those. Well, I've got one which I'm going to be taking up for casting soon. But there are so many things around like that which have these beautiful shapes. And the more I work, the more I find I'm interested in curves and spirals and flows in subject matter. So it's limitless, really, to what I could do. So yes, I think for the time being, that's going to be my focus.
Okay, so if you're wandering along and you just are wandering along a beach, are you continually just looking for a source of inspiration for you? Or if you're walking in a wood, do you specifically look at plants just to see whether there's something there that you can use?
Yes and no. I tend to be looking on the ground because that's where the bits that have the shells are, or the pods, the bits that have fallen off and they're discarded. So
okay,
those are the bits I can pick up. I mean, of course, I'm looking around to see everything around me as well. But in terms of the looking for plant or for material for work, it's generally on the floor.
How long does it take for a piece of work to evolve from conception or seeing it on the beach to actually a finished piece?
It's difficult to say because it varies piece by piece.
Sea vessel one.
Well, the three sea vessels, there was a time... deadlines are good for me. I worked to deadlines, and there was a deadline for Clyde, so I had to get them done. In the end, it took me roughly a month per piece. That was to work on the... Yeah, that was the actual making of it. I mean, then obviously there was the casting afterwards, but that's when I hand over to somebody else. But because I work part-time, I've only got limited hours in the studio. So it does take me a few weeks to do each piece. But those were quick for me compared to a portrait, which could take up to 6 months. So, yeah.
Could you outline the process from start to finish, please?
Well, if I take Sea Vessel 1, because that's the piece you're most aware of, I didn't use an armature. Now, for portraits, I would use an armature, but a very basic one, fundamentally a peg attached to a base, so that you've got something to support the clay. Now, some sculptors would use armatures for everything, to ensure that they can build the work round it, and there's something holding it up. Now, I did try that with the first sea vessel, the inner core one that I did, but as I'm not very good at making armatures, at some point, because I was making it vertical, and at some point it just went horizontal. So that was fine. There was no point trying to keep it going where it didn't want to go. So I just worked on it as a horizontal piece. But whenever I've used armatures, I find myself running up against them. So I'm trying to refine an area, and I keep coming across the armature. And it for me, they're restrictive rather than freeing up. But that's partly because I'm just bad at making them. But so the technique I've been using with the other sea vessels is to actually start with just build up a large area of clay in the rough shape of the thing I'm making. I will take some measurements from the original, for the sea vessels, I just took rough measurements of the length as opposed to the width, as opposed to the height, just to get the proportions broadly right. But then I'm basically treating that huge piece of clay like a piece of stone, and I'm carving away to create the shape rather than adding on. And that is partly why it takes a while, because for some areas you have to wait for the clay to reach a certain hardness for the shape to be retained. And for Sea Vessel 1, where you've got the inner, you've got actually two spirals happening because it's quite a long piece, I was having to wait for the innermost areas to harden sufficiently to hold the weight of the clay. And in fact, they didn't, you know, there was a point where it started cracking and I'd have to patch up. You know, if I'd had an armature, it wouldn't have mattered. There'd have been something to make sure, but the whole thing could have collapsed. So there's a tension between keeping sort of on to removing clay, but that comes to a point where the whole thing might collapse. So I'm learning as I go along and learning what's possible, but I'm sort of pushing the clay to its limits in some ways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so finally I will end up with the piece I want by working away. And then it gets before it dries out, I take it up for casting.
Okay. Okay. You've recently displayed your work at Blickling Hall as part of their Art in the Garden exhibition. Did you enjoy being part of an open-air gallery? And do you wish there was a sculpture park similar to the Yorkshire Sculpture Park closer to home in East Anglia?
Well, yes, I have enjoyed it. It's good to share the work with a different kind of public. This was a National Trust property, so you've got people wandering around the garden just enjoying seeing the sculpture there as well as the plants. There were some issues. One day I got there and found the sprinklers were going fully onto my plinths and bronzes. So whilst they were, to a certain extent, weatherproof, then they could have done without being soaked. But never mind. But apart from those kind of issues, it's good to see sculpture outside. But I think it would be lovely to have a sculpture park, because I think those issues arose because you've got pieces of art in a working walled garden, and obviously the gardeners needed to have the sprinklers on. So I think to have a dedicated space outside for sculpture would be much better. But it's a big venture. I mean, the Yorkshire Sculpture Park's been there a long time, yeah, and it has a lot of funding. But we do, of course, have just opened is the Heritage Pass in Wells, which does have a sculpture trail, which is on for a year. So I decided not to go for that just because my work is too small, and I think you need to have large-scale work to be outdoors, but it's wonderful to have it there.
Okay. And my final question this morning, where can people see your sculptures over the next few months?
Well, I'm going to do the Holt Open Studios, which I think is the first time they've done Open Studios as part of the Holt Festival. But that's just for a long weekend over 21st to 23rd of July. Other than that, people can contact me if they want to come to my studio. But there's no other exhibitions lined up, though I will be submitting my Swift Drinking bronze to the Society of Wildlife Artists annual exhibition in London. So fingers crossed it gets in there.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning. Lovely to talk to you.
Lovely. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Leslie was talking to sculptor Alison Henry. You can reach Alison through her website at www.alisonhenry.weebly.com. And that's Weebly spelt W-E-E-B-L-Y. So it's www.alisonhenry.weebly.com.